Hello everyone, welcome to JTalk Extra Time. John Steele here. Happy Golden Week. In this shorter than usual pod, you're going to hear me running you through all the latest J2 news, and then after a short break for some music, Stuart Smith is sitting in for Mike Innes in the JTalk Short Corner hot seat. He's got all the latest J3 updates for you later on. For now though, without further ado, let's talk J2, and round 13 took place over the holidays on Saturday, April the 30th, and Sunday, May the 1st. I don't know about you, but in Golden Week, my brain gets pretty fried with the scheduling, so we're going to go more or less in chronological order with the J2 news. Starting then on Saturday, April the 30th, Oita enjoyed their day out at Jeff Chiba, winning 3-0. Oita were in front in the 15th minute thanks to a superb low shot from Keita Takahata, and then they added two more goals late on, firstly with a fine 25-yard free kick in off the post from Hokuto Shimoda that came in the 83rd minute, and then Kazuki Fujimoto added the third goal on the 88th minute, seizing on a loose pass from Tomoyamiki to go clean through and comfortably beat Shota Arai just inside the area. So good result for Oita. Jeff Gunner Jeff, as we say, and it finished Jeff Chiba 0, Oita 3. There was a thrilling end to Yamaguchi's home game against Tochigi, also on Saturday, with two goals coming in second half stoppage time. Going into the closing stages, Yamaguchi were 1-0 up thanks to Kento Hashimoto's 57th minute goal, a close range shot that the Tochigi keeper Kazuki Fujita should really have done better with. But in the 92nd minute, Tochigi got the ball back from a Yamaguchi throw-in near their own corner flag. They got the ball forward as quickly as they could, think just someone pressing the circle button repeatedly on the PlayStation, and suddenly Masato Igarashi was crossing from the right for Kisho Yano to make it 1-1. So Tochigi thought they had a point in the bag, but later still, in the last of the six additional minutes, Yamaguchi's Ryoto Kodama managed to get the ball across the six-yard box for Daisuke Takagi to sweep in, and that meant the final score was Yamaguchi 2, Tochigi 1. A first win in three games for Yamaguchi, but Tochigi just struggling a little bit, no wins in any of their last six. Mito ended Kofu's four-game winning streak, beating their visitors 2-1 at the K's Denki Stadium. Mito stunned Kofu with two goals in the space of 5 minutes midway through the first half. For the opener, Mizuki Ando crossed low for Yutaka Soneda to put the hosts in front. His initial shot was blocked by goalkeeper Kohei Kawata, but he was able to tuck away the rebound. Soneda was involved again in the second goal, harrying Kofu defender Riku Nozawa into a horrible mistake. Nozawa's loose ball across his own penalty area was seized upon by Ando and tucked away for 2-0. Early on in the second half, Kofu pulled a goal back with a nice finish from Riku Iijima, but they just couldn't find an equaliser, and the final score was Mito 2, Kofu 1. Ryukyu stay bottom of the table, but they did earn a point from their home game against the third place side Niigata. This match finished 1-1. Kickoff was delayed for an hour due to a failure of the pitch sprinkler system at Ryukyu. You know, nothing's going right for them this season, is it? But when the game eventually did get started, Ryukyu got off to a flyer. They went in front in the 10th minute with Yuki Kusano finishing off a nice flowing team move. Niigata were level though thanks to a fairly controversial penalty decision right at the end of the first half. Their right back Keita Tanaka was adjudged to have fouled Kaito Taniguchi when they came together under a high ball, and Yoshiaki Takagi converted the spot kick to make it 1-1. And that's how it finished, but there were chances at both ends in the second half, especially when Ryukyu goalkeeper Junto Taguchi made a good save at close range. He tipped an effort from Ipe Shinozuka onto the crossbar. But that's how it finished, Ryukyu 1, Niigata 1. On to the Sunday action then, May the 1st, and Iwate finally played their first J2 home game at their main stadium, the Iwagen Stadium, but it didn't give them much of a boost as they lost 2-1 against visitors Kumamoto. In very wet conditions, and with just 849 supporters inside the stadium, Kumamoto took the lead in the 16th minute when their big defender Masahiro Sugata headed in a free kick at the far post. Kumamoto doubled their lead straight after half-time, Shun Ito scoring from virtually on the Iwate goal line after Keisuke Tanabe, who'd just come on as a substitute at half-time, squared the ball across the face of goal. There was late drama, though, as Iwate were given and then missed a penalty in the 87th minute. A shot from Tatsuya Tabira hit Osamu Henry Ueha's arm for a handball, but poor old Han Yong-tae took the spot kick and shanked it well wide of the post. It was just one of those days for Iwate, as it turned out. Iwate did, though, pull a goal back right at the end of the 94th minute. Daisuke Fukagawa heading a corner kick in off the post, but that was the very last action of the game. The full-time whistle was blown before Kumamoto could even kick off to restart the game, so it finished Iwate 1, Kumamoto 2. Iwate now slip into the bottom two after a sixth straight defeat. This was a first win in four for Kumamoto, who move up the table slightly to 15th. In fourth place, Okayama continue to look good. They won 2-1 at home against the fast-fading Tokyo Verdy on Sunday. After a goalless first half, Okayama scored twice in 5 minutes early in the second period. In the 54th minute, Verdy lost possession in their own right-back position, which gave Stefan Mork the chance to cross into the box, and the ball then dropped nicely for Yudai Tanaka to tap in for 1-0. Shortly after that, Mitch Duke does what Mitch Duke does. He powered in a header from Ryosuke Kawano's right-wing cross to make it 2-0. Tokyo, though, did pull a goal back with about 10 minutes left. An excellent header from Byron Vasquez from a Ryuji Sugimoto crossing. That's Vasquez's first J-League goal. But it wasn't enough and ended Okayama 2, Tokyo Verdy 1. Okayama now 6 games unbeaten. Verdy still in 7th place in the table, which is good, but they've lost 4 of their last 5 games, which is bad. There was a Stone Cold Classic at Shoda Stadium, where the league leaders Yokohama FC ended up drawing 3-3 with their host Gunma after being 3-0 up at half-time. Koki Ogawa had already missed a great chance to put the visitors in front when he actually became a provider, chipping the ball into the box for Tatsuya Hasegawa to head Yokohama in front via the post. That was in the 24th minute. Hasegawa nearly added a second goal shortly afterwards, but Gunma's keeper Masatoshi Kushibiki was able to claw another header against the post and away to safety. But it was 2-0 soon enough, with Kazuma Watanabe heading in a corner on the half hour, his first start and first goal of the 2022 season. And Yokohama were cruising when Zane Isaka rifled in a third goal for the visitors from the edge of the box. So 3-0 to Yokohama at half-time, nothing to see here. But at the start of the second half, Gunma quickly got a goal back. Great work from Koji Okamura, who'd just come on at half-time. He set up Shu Hiramatsu, who fired into the roof of the net for 6 yards for 3-1. That was in the 49th minute. Hiramatsu scored again 8 minutes later, sliding in to convert a low cross from everyone's favourite barrel-chested wide man, Toa Yamane, and then it was game on at 3-2. In the 67th minute, the comeback was complete as Okamura made it 3-3 with a sumptuous curling strike from outside the penalty area, which went in off the base of the post. Fantastic goal. And the last 20 minutes of this game were absolutely unbelievable. Chances at both ends like a basketball match. Sven Brodersen in the Yokohama goal made a couple of excellent saves to stop Gunma from actually going in front. And at the other end, Saulo Mineiro nearly snapped the crossbar in half with a fierce effort in stoppage time that came back off the frame of the goal. But neither side could find a winner, and it finished Gunma 3, Yokohama FC 3. Yokohama still unbeaten this season, but I'm not sure what happened in that second half. They easily could have lost this game. Gunma were on fire in the second period. There was plenty of controversy at Endesoft Stadium as Yamagata beat their visitors Nagasaki 2-0 with a pair of goals that both looked to be offside. Nagasaki started really well, and home goalkeeper Masaki Goto had to be alert to keep out a dangerous low strike from Cristiano. And then Yamagata took the lead in debatable circumstances in the 19th minute. Yoshiki Fujimoto seemed to be offside when the ball broke to him on the edge of the 6-yard box. But there was no flag, no whistle, and he converted the chance and the goal was given for 1-0. Yamagata's second goal, 10 minutes from the end, was not marginal at all. When Ibuki Fujita played in Brazilian striker De La Torre, he looked at least a yard offside, but nevertheless he was allowed to go on and produced a neat chip over Masaya Tomizawa in the Nagasaki goal for 2-0. And that's how it finished, Yamagata 2, Nagasaki 0. And I think we have to say Yamagata extremely fortunate with the offside decisions in this game, but it's a third straight win for them, and it lifts them up to fifth in the table. But no VAR in J2, clearly. Tokushima produced a bit of a surprise away at Machida. They won 2-0 with goals from Kiyoshiro Tsuboi, a first pro goal for him, and Naoto Arai. Very wet conditions at Nozita for this match, and no goals in the first half. But Machida did go close to taking the lead early on in the second when Hijiri Onaga hit the crossbar. Tokushima escaped and went in front themselves in the 62nd minute. A fine dribble and low cross from Koki Sugimori set up a chance for Mushaka Bakenga, but that was blocked by Machida's keeper Koki Fukui, but Tsuboi was on hand to score the rebound inside the 6-yard box. 15 minutes from time, it was 2-0. Arai's shot from just outside the penalty area, taking a huge deflection off Machida midfielder Kaishu Sano and looping over Fukui and into the net. So it finished, Machida 0, Tokushima 2. Machida still 6th, but they haven't won any of their last 6 games. Tokushima are in 11th, one of 5 teams who have 17 points after 13 matches. Omiya are out of the relegation zone after a second consecutive win, 2-1 away at Kanazawa. It was a busy day for Omiya centre-back Keisuke Nishimura, who seemed to be involved in the action at both ends. Early on, Nishimura almost gave the visitors the lead when he headed against the crossbar from a corner, and then at the other end he had to clear off the line when Kanazawa threatened. But Omiya did take the lead in the 41st minute. A combination of Nishimura and a Kanazawa defender headed the ball down from another corner for Atsushi Kawata to acrobatically volley home. The lead was short-lived though. Kanazawa drew level right after half-time when Honoya Shoji took aim from outside the box, and his low shot struck Nishimura. The huge deflection took the ball past Yuta Minami in the Omiya goal, who was already committed, and suddenly it was 1-1. Omiya, though, got their winner with just 9 minutes to go. Seiya Nakano arriving at the far post to head in his first goal of the season from Masato Kojima's right-wing cross for 2-1. Now, have Omiya turned the corner? 3 wins from their last 4. Suddenly, things are looking a little bit rosier at NAC 5, where Kanazawa continue to struggle in their home games, don't they? The final score, Kanazawa 1, Omiya 2. Finally, for round 13, second place Sendai are now just 3 points behind Yokohama FC at the top. This is after they beat Akita 3-1 at Yurtech Stadium in their Tohoku derby. In a pretty even first half, Sendai had the lead in the 10th minute through Keimen Togashi. He reacted quickest after Leandro Di Sabato, making his first start of the season in the Sendai midfield, had his header blocked by Akita goalkeeper Yoshiaki Arai. The ball ran loose and Togashi swept it in. Akita gave as good as they got though in the first half, and Keita Saito rattled the Sendai crossbar from almost 30 yards as they looked for an equaliser. Fantastic effort, and a deserved Akita goal came in the 27th minute. Hayate Take was only on the pitch because Shota Aoki got injured and had to be replaced, but Take was in the right place at the back post to head in Tomofumi Fujiyama's right wing cross to make it 1-1, and it looked like that might be enough to earn a point for Akita. But late on, Yasushi Endo showed his class to take the game away from the visitors. In the 72nd minute, his beautiful curling strike from outside the box put Sendai 2-1 up. And then 6 minutes after that, his through ball sent Kyohei Yoshino clean through to clip the ball over goalkeeper Arai to make it 3-1 and seal the points for the home side. Sendai looking good after a third straight win, whereas for Akita, from 4 defeats in their last 5 matches now, they're down in 19th place, and things are not going so great for Akita. Before I hand you over to Stu for J3 news in J-Talk Short Corner then, just a quick preview of the round 14 action, which is coming up this Wednesday, May the 4th. All of the games in the afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. it's Iwate hosting Nagasaki, and bottom side Ryukyu go to out of form Akita. That has the feel of a big game, Akita versus Ryukyu. The majority of the matches in round 14 are at 2 p.m. Second place Sendai travel to Tokyo Verde. A big crowd expected at Ajinomoto Stadium for that one. Leaders Yokohama FC are hosting mid-table Kumamoto. And third place Niigata host a very, very good away side Kanazawa at the Big Swan. Also at 2 p.m. it's Kofu against Gunma. Fourth place Okayama host Mito. And sixth place Machida go to Yamaguchi. Tokushima welcome Jeff Chiba to Pocari Sweat Stadium. And it's Oita against Omiya at the Showa Denko Dome. Rounding off the midweek action for round 14 at 4 p.m, 5th place Yamagata will be hoping to get the same assistant referees and referees again as they go to Kanseki Stadium, where Tochigi are the hosts. So Tochigi v Yamagata is the 4 p.m. game on Wednesday. I think that's J2 taken care of then, so yeah, thanks for your attention. Enjoy the rest of your Golden Week, but please stay tuned. Here comes J-Talk Short Corner, all the J3 news with Stu.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this Golden Week instalment of the J-Talk Short Corner. I'm Stuart Smith, standing in for Mike Innes, who is taking a break from Short Corner duties. Anyway, enough of the pleasantries, let's dive straight into the latest J3 action. Starting at the top, Matsumoto Yamaga are currently residing at the summit of J3 after they saw off Azul Clara Numazu on Saturday night. The only goal of the game was a beauty from in-form forward Ayumu Yokoyama, who lashed in from 25 yards out to register his 6th goal of the year. That was the end of the scoring, and that was enough to give Hiroshi Nanami his first home win in J3. Fukushima United are second after they overcame a COVID-19 outbreak and horrendous weather conditions to come away from their game in Ehime with a creditable 0-0 draw. Both goalkeepers, Kenta Tokushige for Ehime and Kaito Yamamoto for Fukushima, were excellent given the weather and the state of the playing surface, and both did their jobs well enough to ensure a share of the spoils. Iwaki FC came from a goal down to win 3-1 at home against Vanraure Hachinohe and move up to third place in the process. They went 1-0 down to what looked suspiciously like a goal direct from a throw-in after only 2 minutes, but 3 goals in the first 15 minutes of the second half from Riku Saga, Shota Suzuki and Hiroto Iwabuchi ensured the turnaround. Nagano Parcero and Kagoshima United are now level on 14 points after Yuki Stealth's side came from behind to beat Kagoshima at the U Stadium in Nagano. It started well for the away side as Romero Frank put them ahead, but 2 quick second half strikes from Yuki Morikawa meant the 3 points stayed in Nagano, and Kagoshima finished with 10 men after Romero Frank was given his marching orders in additional time. Speaking of teams that had a player sent off, FC Gifu went down 2-1 at Kamatamare Sanaki. Sanaki took the first half lead when Kohei Matsumoto finished very nicely, lobbing over Gifu goalkeeper Kirahata, but Daisuke Ishizu scored his first goal for Gifu from outside the area to level things up just before half-time. Brazilian defender Freire was given a straight red card for what looked like an altercation at a corner midway through the second half, and Sanaki made their numerical advantage count 4 minutes from the end when Matsumoto was on hand to take advantage of some frankly woeful ball watching from Gifu's defence to notch his second. After the game, the Gifu supporters who travelled had some very choice words for the players, and yeah, things are not going particularly well for Gifu boss Toshiya Miura. Fujieda are Gifu's next opponents, and they came away from Giravance Kitakyushu with a fine 1-0 victory. It could have been very different, however, had Giravance forward Yuya Takazawa not ballooned over from right in front of an open goal just before Tomoyuki Doi actually did score an open goal for the visitors. A very good win for Fujieda as they prepare to host Gifu on Wednesday. Finally, in J3, 2 goals from Daichi Ishikawa were not enough for Gainare Tottori as they fell to a 3-2 defeat in Toyama, Hiroya Sueki getting what turned out to be the winner there, while Imabari and Miyazaki played out a 0-0 draw in awful conditions, although Imabari forward Indio smacked a last-minute penalty against the post. Looking at the table, Matsumoto are top on 16 points, second are Fukushima on 15, and then we have Iwaki FC, Kagoshima United and AC Nagano Parcero all on 14 points. At the bottom, YSCC didn't play last weekend and so they failed to add to their 1 point. Hachinohe are on 3 points while Gainari Tottori sit on 4. The matches come thick and fast in J3 as we have another set on Wednesday and Thursday this week, which are both public holidays here in Japan. Leaders Matsumoto host Giravance Kitakyushu, which for those of you with J2 memories, was a bit of a wild one in J2 last year. But the big game of the slate is the first ever J-League Fukushima Derby between Fukushima United and Iwaki FC. It promises to be an historic football day in Fukushima. Good luck to both sides there. Elsewhere, Nagano travel to Numazu, Kagoshima host Katari Toyama, and Imabari travel the short distance east to face their Shikoku neighbours, Kamata Mari Sanaki. Fuji Eremai FC welcome Gifu, for whom 500 tickets have been sold. That's a pretty solid J3 support there. Sagami Hara, who had a week off last week, travel to Vanrare Hachinohe. Tottori host Ehime, and YSCC will look to get on the board with their first win when they entertain Miyazaki in Yokohama. Phew! Whew, that's you all up to date with J3. Thank you for listening. Thank you to the Patreons especially who help us with this podcast. And thank you to everyone who downloads and interacts with us all who do this. We really appreciate it. Here's hoping you stay safe. Here's hoping you enjoy the football in the next days. And see you next time. We'll be right back.